Blog Talk Radio.
Grab Sick Radio, premiere, twisting internet radio. Listen here, you're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. BrownSugarRadio, premiere. Twisting internet radio, listen here. You're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music, culture, lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. Brown Sugar Radio is the premier choice in internet radio. You're rocking with the best every Thursday night. Live in urban music, culture, and lifestyle. That's right, www.brownsugarradio.com. Come on, keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown sugar, brown sugar, brown sugar radio.
Keep your internet on.
Brown sugar, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, Brown Sugar Radio.
B-R-O-W-N-S-U-G-A. Go run and tell the DJ. Hitting the Vegas and hitting worldwide. Brown Sugar Radio is all the way live. Let's shake the world. Good night.
What's happening, Brown Sugar Radio, loyal listeners? Tonight is Thursday Night Live as we discuss the hot, explosive topic of the evening. Creeping in the church house, we got something for a little bit of everybody. Now, I want to tell you, originally, this show was only going to be for the single folks. But I decided that, you know what, it's married people also, you know what I'm saying, that may creep also. So we're going to go ahead and discuss both sides of the fence tonight. But what I'd like to do at this time is introduce to some and present to others my special guest co-host of the evening, Sound off now. What's poppin'?
Hey, what it do? What it do, Brown Sugar? Glad to be on the show tonight. How you doing, fam?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm just excited to have this show topic and have you as my guest co-host for tonight. And I know that many of my listeners were looking forward to this topic. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be a juicy one tonight.
You know, it's no different than what you normally do on the air, Brown. You bring the truth, bring the knowledge. You know, whoever can't handle the truth, don't tune in to Brown Sugar Radio, you know.
For real. Raw and uncut is what it is, all right?
That's it.
We are certainly going to make sure that we, you know, put it out there tonight. Okay. And we share what our views are, and certainly the second half of the segment, many of you who would love to join us, in this controversial topic, you're welcome to. But for my new listeners that are joining us tonight, I want to say that how we're going to do it. Okay, the first half of the segment, we are going to focus on the singles in the church house. And then the second half, after our commercial break, we're going to talk about the married couple, all right, in the church house. And the reason being, like I said earlier, single people aren't the only one that may have to deal with sexual temptation, if you will. So what I decided to do was focus in on areas that are pros and cons for the single, and then maybe give a few bits of advice or some pointers that we can maybe share, you know, in regards to being single. And then for the married people, same thing. We're going to go down the line as far as maybe some of the frustrations you deal with, because one of the common factors in the church is that, okay, you're single. Most saved people don't date that long. They get married over a matter of maybe months, some even weeks. Mm-hmm. And then they're miserable because they got married just to satisfy their flesh. So I want to get into that tonight. You know, getting married just so that you can, in the sight of God, be honorable and not fornicate, I don't believe that's a good reason to get married. And Sound, you may disagree with me on that. I mean, what's your thought?
Well, I'm going to throw in real quick. This show tonight has the makings of some real controversial topics and issues because, you know, I'm pretty sure you're going to get a couple of calls tonight from people that are in the church, people that are saved, that may disagree with that last statement. We're going to play it by ear with the phone lines. I got a feeling it's going to heat up a little bit. I got a feeling it's going to heat up. I know I got a lot of my listeners from Facebook that I invited over tonight, posted some stuff there. So I'm pretty sure this is going to be pretty interesting from the last comment you made. I'm sort of in the middle of the road right now. I'm going to save what I got to a little bit later. I'm going to kind of piggyback off you here and there.
All right, all right. So I just honestly feel that, and we're going to go over the reasons why I feel that way, you know. And first of all, living a life as a single woman, you know, that has a relationship with God. I would not call myself religious. There's some women that are religious. I'm more so spiritual, you know, and the difference, in my opinion, I think religious people may so do things out of tradition. Go to church on Easter Sunday, go to church on New Year's Eve, go to church, you know what I'm saying, on all of the big holidays because they're supposed to, or even go to church every Sunday, but you don't have substance, or you don't have that anointing, or you don't have that feeling on the inside, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit within you, you know, you're just doing things basically out of tradition because this is what Mama said do.
Right.
Then you have the spiritual people that actually have a relationship with God, you know, that pray, that read their Bible, that may actually take the time out to develop an intimacy with God. And that's what I call myself as far as being spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not doing things just for show or just to say, hey, Pastor, you see me? I'm here. Look, you know, I'm paying my tithes. I'm here, Pastor. No, I'm doing it because I have developed a relationship with Christ. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means. But I'm going to go over some strong reasons why I feel that as a single man or woman in the church. Caller, I see you there, 517, if you can just hang tight, because we're just getting into it. I know this issue is going to be very controversial, all right? 314,
yes.
Man, the phone lines are filling up.
Yes, it is. As I stated, there will be some calls tonight, and it will be controversial. And no sooner than
yes.
I hear the phone lines blowing up, so we know what we're in store for tonight.
Okay, absolutely, absolutely. But I just want to say that, first and foremost, you know, singles in the church house, you know, the question is posed tonight, are many truly there, you know, to worship God, and maybe at one point they just have fallen short of the glory of God by temptations of the flesh, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, do we have vultures that actually seek to prey on weak, spiritually weak is what I mean, not weak-minded, spiritually weak singles in the church house, which proposes the question, you know, are singles that are saved and in church looking for Mr. or Mrs. Right or Mr. and Mrs. Do Me Right or Mrs. Let me say that right because we're talking to men and women. I won't say Mr. and Mrs. Y'all. I'm not talking about sexuality, y'all. I'm saying or, you know, if you're looking for Mr. or Mrs. Do Me Right, you know. And the reason this has been such an issue to my heart is because of the fact that just recently with a lot of the allegations that have come out with Alicia Keys allegedly being a homewrecker and the family being single and the issue and all the drama that allegedly unfolded with Swiss Beatz. I can only say allegedly because I'm not there and I don't know her story, okay? So I'm by any means not going to judge her.
Mm-hmm.
But also, with that said, just recently with Fantasia, and that's my girl, you feel me? It was alleged that Fantasia had overdosed on aspirin and sleeping pills due to the drama unfolding with her supposedly messing with a married man.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I know y'all know the details, Paula Cook and the drama which she's supposed to have been messing with Antoine Cook and all this, that, and the other. And is it that serious? You know, is it that serious to where you would want to take your very own life, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Over sex. Because that's what it all boils down to, because had she just been either of them, I'm not just speaking about Fantasia, we all have been there, made some poor choices in life.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone.
I think a lot of it has to do, at the end of the day, you're going to be responsible for the choices you make, whether they're positive choices or they're bad choices. You're going to have to live with those choices at the end of the day. I mean, if you choose to mess around with a married man or a married woman, you have to know going in, more than likely, there's a lot of bad that can come out of it than good. People roll the dice with that. Hey, I'll mess around with this married woman, this married man. It's exciting. You know, I can get away with it. A lot of people confuse the excitement with, you know, I love this guy. I want to be with him. But it's like excitement. You know, will I ever get caught? But most of the time, man, more bad can come out of it than good. And you see that with the situation with Alicia Keys and Swizz Beatz. I mean, they got together. You know, they're together. He's divorced. But the media hit that both of them took, I think, in a sense, you know, may affect their careers in the long run. I think they'll lose some listeners. I've heard a lot of women, you know, dogging Alicia Keys after that move. And
her album sales have went down. You know,
exactly.
I was looking,
Exactly, and dogging Swizz Beatz. And the same thing with Fantasia. If it's true that she was messing with a married man and that pressure got to her and she did an overdose and they found her in a closet, you know, people are going to view her differently and her career is going to take a tailspin. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think you're responsible for your choices, but you got to make correct choices. I don't think any man or any woman is worth, you know, cheating if they're married and all this good stuff if you know the consequences in the end. Now, if someone's married and they say, hey, this is what it is, I'm not with them, I'm getting a divorce, blah, 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 that's a different story. But if you're coming in and wrecking someone's home and you know they're happily married, but this person just want to get their jump off, you know it's wrong. And you got to make the positive decision on that to step back and say, hey, I don't want that because I know no good is going to come from that. And if we take it back to what the topic of the show is about the church and in a biblical sense and God, of course you're not going to get blessed behind something like that. So I wanted to throw that in real quick.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. I think that's very, very important that you mentioned that. And, you know, one of the things I find, hold on real quick, my listeners, I am struggling to open up my chat box. My computer is bugging tonight.
I'm having a problem getting in the chat room on our blog talk.
Everybody in the chat room,
we're trying to get to you. It's Blog Talk sometimes, a great network, Blog Talk Radio. I don't want to say anything bad about Blog Talk Radio, a great network, but sometimes
you know,
we have problems getting in the chat room.
I'm on fire right now because I cannot get in the chat and shout out my listeners.
Right.
But, golly, I'm really frustrated. So y'all just hang tight, and certainly the listeners, the callers that are on.
If I get there before you, Brown, put it on the chat room, I'll take care of that. I'm trying to get them.
All right, cool.
Okay.
You know, like, golly, this is ridiculous. So, but with that said, now, one of the reasons that I say you should not get married just for sex, all right, is because I feel that being single has many advantages. You know, when you are solo, you know, and you're actively pursuing a relationship with Christ, I feel that you have more freedom, you know what I mean? And you have more time on your hands in order to devote wholeheartedly to Christ. You know, you have an advantage. And I want to go over that. Now, as far as singles in the church house, okay, I'm going to get to this first. And like I mentioned earlier, we're going to cover married people the second half of this segment. But I feel like these are some of the three privileges, you know, of being single, all right? The first pro I would say is that, you know, women, you know, in the Bible it says that women have to be submissive to their husbands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're single, you don't have that husband, you know, that you have to be considerate of choices you make that may affect him, you know, and you have to go to him, you know, and, you know, baby, do you mind if I do this? Do you mind if I do that? How do you feel about this? I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but just being single, you can kind of do you for a minute. And I've always felt like you have to have a life before you become a wife, because then you'll be a stronger mate and you'll be at a mental position in your life to where you can fully appreciate, you know, having a good man in your life because you've done so much on your own. You know what I mean? And then the second reason is that you can focus solely on building a relationship with God. You know, when you're married, you got your husband you have to please, or your wife. I'm not only speaking to the women, but it's married men, too, listening tonight. And you know, you have to balance that out when you're married. Whereas when you're single, you can do the singles Bible study and the choir and usher board, and you can go to school, you know what I'm saying, and you can be able to, you know, work overtime and you don't have to cook dinner and these kind of things. You have so many advantages as far as your time, okay?
Right.
And the third reason I feel it's an advantage to being single is that you have the freedom to live a busy, active lifestyle, professionally, personally, and spiritually,
mm-hmm.
where you can be a little selfish, and it's okay. It's okay because you're growing, you're learning about who you are, and ain't nothing wrong with that.
Gotcha.
All right? Now, some of the cons, if you will, I feel these are three reasons that may be a disadvantage to being single, all right? Number one, we all know that sex is forbidden for single people, according to the Bible.
Okay.
You know, the Word of God says it's better to marry than to burn.
Okay.
That's where I can understand sound where you like, look, that's a little controversy what you're saying, sugar, as far as folks, you know, getting married
to sex. Yeah.
But when you look at the high percentage of divorces, you know, people getting married within weeks, months of not truly knowing one another. And I've even been presented with, you know, sugar, but look at our grandparents. Our grandparents only dated a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and they lasted for years. But things are different now.
But you,
you know, a woman had...
Go ahead.
I
want to jump in on that because I'm a firm believer, Brown, that it works both ways. I mean, you have so many situations with people that have dated long engagements, been together for years. You know, people have been together 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 10 years before they got married, and the marriages don't last, you know, year and a half. And I'm a firm believer it will work just as good in the reverse. I mean, I think if you can meet somebody and you can fairly quickly find out you equally, it doesn't take too long to find out who's equally yoked with you and who's not. You know, it doesn't
right.
find out who took too long who's into the things you are. If you go to church and your mate doesn't go to church and smokes crack, okay, that's a bad match.
Right.
What I'm saying is I understand what you're saying about get to know someone, you know, take time. But at the same time, I know people personally that have met short engagements, got married, and have been married for a while. I'm talking years, you know,
right.
10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for every, you know, example you give of that, I think it's 50-50 on both ends. I do agree. Don't get me wrong. I think if you had to weigh the two, it is better to get to know a person and kind of stretch it out a little bit. But on the other side,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it works on the other end, too. So I wanted to throw that in. Go ahead.
You feel me? Okay, I finally got in the chat room. Yes, sir. I want to shout out my list of good grief. Y'all got some juicy conversation going on in the chat box. What up? Bless Angel Eyes. We have Brother Brock. We have Guest 5962, Mr. Magic, Straight Truth, and Young Boy Genius. Welcome each and every one of you tonight on this explosive talk topic as we discuss creeping in the church house. And I want to read this comment from Young Boy Genius. It says, if you go to church looking for a partner, are you going to church for the wrong reason? Excellent question. Sal, I'm going to let you answer that.
You know, Brown, before we started the show tonight, I said, Brown, don't catch me off guard, man. If it's something I don't know, don't just throw me in the fire. I see you weren't listening. I see you were not listening. You were not listening or you did this on purpose. If you go to church, searching for a mate, soulmate, I want to get the question right. Is that wrong? That was the question?
Yes. Going to church looking for a partner.
You know what? I'm going to say no. And the reason I'm going to say no is this. If you're a spiritual person and you come from a spiritual background and that's how you're trying to live your life and you're trying to live your life the right way, where else would you go? You know, you're going to go to a nightclub, you're going to go to the bars, you're going to hang out in the streets to try to find your mate. I don't see nothing wrong with that at all. If you're going to a place of worship and you want to spend the rest of your life and you want to find your soulmate with someone as well, What better place than church, Bible? And let's get away from just church itself. There are other things inside the church you can get involved with to find that person. It doesn't just have to be church. It can be Bible study. It can be church functions. It could be Sunday school. So we don't want to say it's just a congregation and it's church itself. There are all sort of other entities within the church where you can find that person. But the flip side to that again, Brown, is this. Beware of what's going on in your church, because we all know some of the biggest devils are laying right there in the church sitting next to you on the pews every Sunday, okay?
Right.
In Bible study, in Sunday school. So, you know, just because you're going there to that place of worship, looking for that person, if you find that person may be the biggest devil in the church of all. So you have to guard against that. So my answer to the question would be yes. I agree with that. But when you're looking for somebody, you have to examine so many other factors than, hey, you should go to church. I go to church. Hey, let's get married. It ain't going to work like that. There's so much more people. You got to get into that. So
that's
I would say yes to that question, but be careful about that.
Right. And that's an excellent point that you just mentioned. Okay, and like I said, this first half is just a single. I know we got some married folk in the chat room tonight. I'm definitely going to go over the pros and cons for married people also, all right, because it's benefits to both, okay? But the second, now, I didn't even get into the remaining cons. The first con was that sex is forbidden. The second con for singles in the church is that more single women are in the church house than men.
Mm-hmm.
The third would be you may suffer from loneliness if you don't occupy your time appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? And I think as a woman myself, you know, that's dealt with being single, I feel that, you know, certainly there can be times if you do not keep yourself focused and keep yourself busy that you will end up in trouble. And one of my favorite sayings, I know you've heard it before, many of you have heard that quote, idle hands can lead to the devil's workshop.
Exactly.
So you got to stay busy, you know. You got to make sure that you, and that's with anybody, though, you know, even your marriage. We'll get into that. I don't want to skip ahead of myself, but I guess mainly being single because, you know, if you don't have children and you're living on your own and you have a lot of spare time, you want to make sure that you occupy it, you know, going to school or, you know, rather that's volunteering in the church a few extra hours or even your community as a coach of Little League or whatever may be the case. Try to use that time, you feel me?
I agree.
Whatever you got to do. But tonight, what I'd like to get into is Dr. Ty Adams. Dr. Ty Adams is a phenomenal woman. I'm going to play a snippet because this woman here is just a woman that had miraculous delivery in her life. She was a victim of living a double life in the church. She was single and active in sexual relationships, quoting scriptures, you know what I mean, attending Bible study and in bed, Bible Sunday school and all that, there every Sunday, but felt like she was not giving God the true life of a Christian that she should. And come to find out after researching and finding out more information on Dr. Ty Adams, she was abused at the tender age of 7. She struggled with sex. She endured 6 years of molestation. And for almost 21 years, Ty viewed and experienced nearly every sexual perversion possible, okay, even after she made the Lord Jesus Christ her Savior.
Okay.
And in a recent interview with the 700 Club, Dr. Adams explained that she always felt like she had to get it right first, you know, then come to God, only later to find out that God continued to bless her and he pruned her sexual sins and wanted to use her as a testimony in order to deliver others who were saved, single, and having sex. Okay? So this next sermon is very, very powerful, if you will. And I want for you guys to certainly listen to it. It's definitely going to be moving. And I just feel like, you know, this snippet on single saved and having sex is very touching. It's an issue that you don't really hear too many pastors talk about anymore. okay? Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about it tonight because, you know, we got to get to the bottom of what it is. Why is it that many Christians struggle with sexuality, you know, and they struggle with trying to maybe find their own independence, or they struggle with different issues as far as what may be pleasing unto God, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into this. Caller, thank you so much for holding. I'm going to play this snippet, and then we're going to grab you probably within the next few minutes or so, but I definitely appreciate you guys waiting patiently. Here it is. This is the first snippet that I have from this incredible woman that I just read about, who's living a double life. This is Dr. Ty Adams on single, saved, and having sex, y'all.
We got to start applying what we get. We got enough work. Y'all here, I'm going to get one of y'all to mic. Go on, preach for me. You got some words, start applying it. And so now more than ever, the body of Christ need to get to the point where we just start need to just being a Christian. Don't be telling me you're a Christian. Be one. You ain't got to tell me you're a Christian. Just be one. Your lifestyle is a sermon, baby. You want to preach? Let your lifestyle be a sermon. And so now that we get so crafty with the word, we try and twist it, which is even worse than you even not knowing the word and even being saved. Because the Bible calls that wicked. That's what wicker chair, you know, the wicker chairs that you used to take the school pictures in and be looking like this? No, y'all got some pictures where y'all posing looking like a hot mess. I went through my picture, I burned them all. I was like, Lord, no, that was a demon. And I'm destroying everything that looked like my old life. And so the wicker chair that you used to sit in, they call it a wicker chair because it's been twisted. They take the wood on the chair and they twist it. And that's what some church folk do. They take the word and twist it. And so now we have gotten so crafty with the word of God. We're so anointed. And we take the word and try and apply it to our life and make it good. And we'll quote a scripture and swear you right. About that bus hell wide open. Trying to be all anointed. And so one of the things that I see now is Christians trying to live a double life. We want to do what we did in the world and then quote scriptures at the same time. I'm trying to figure out why do I go in the parking lot after church and your radio dial on the hip-hop station? All your dials is set up. 88.3, 96.FM, hot listening. I'm like, what the Jesus? Just got out of church and be like, Satan is such a fraud. Such a fraud. God is the one that instituted lifting up hands. Wave your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. That ain't nothing new. That was for Christians. Your hands were made for worship, not masturbation. And then folk get mad at you because you want to live holy all the way. Don't they be hating on you? You're so spiritual. What does that mean? I'm spiritual. You're so holy now. Well, good. I'm glad you recognize it, baby. Because when you see the Father, you see me. Take a good look. I'm a walking Jesus on the earth. That's all you are, small G gods. When God breathed the breath of life in you, he breathed himself on the inside of you. You should wake up holy, not horny. Wake up holy. We are, it's so hard. You're lying, because the Bible says in the book of John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, that the word of God, that God's commandments is not a burden. So why are we still complaining about the lifestyle that God has called us to? We so wimpy. The world be looking at us like, and why would I want to come to your church? You broke, and you sleeping around? Okay, nah, you keep your Jesus. And some of you have given the world an example of Jesus that make them disgusted. God getting blamed on by y'all. Because y'all have not made up in your mind that this is the lifestyle of the just. This is how I live. This is my life. Ain't no other way. Ain't no dipping in and out. One day you want to be a Christian. Tomorrow you're like, I don't know. Maybe I'm about to call him. I'm going to give me one more last time. Last time? What's the last time?
Okay. So y'all know how I say it. If you can't say amen, say ouch. I'm telling you, Dr. Todd was getting down with it and just putting it on out there. And I mean, golly, well, certainly setting it on fire, letting us all know, you know what I'm saying, her thoughts and what God says about some of the controversial things we face when we are at church. And I think one of the most powerful things she said was that you end up living a double life at times if you're not truly ready to commit. And I think it's better that you be honest with yourself. If you know that, hey, I'm not ready, you know, to give God my all. You know what I'm saying? Instead of straddling the fence, but still continue to pray and ask God to help you to gain that strength, because there's only some things in your life only God can deliver you from. You know, this flesh is what it is, all right? And it's going to take a higher power in order to deliver you and to get you through some trying times, okay? And tonight we're just talking about sex, but many of us know that there's other addictions and temptations than just sex. But we're talking about creeping tonight, so I'm going to stay on topic. But I just found that it was interesting, you know, that she was saying that a lot of the Christians in the church that do straddle the fence turn off some of the newcomers to the church. And that's definitely something that, you know, you want to take into consideration as someone that attends church regularly, okay, and who wants to dedicate their life to Christ, all right? Now, what are some of your thoughts on what Dr. Ty had mentioned, you know, as far as single, saved, and having sex? Uh-oh, wait a minute, sound, we can't hear you. Hold on a hot second. Okay, you're going to have to repeat. Yeah, I got you now. You got to repeat what you just said and go ahead.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to comment on what you said is so poignant about newcomers that come to new congregations and new churches. That is so true, what you just said. First impressions with newcomers to church are just like going on a job interview, making a first impression your first day on a job. It's the same thing with newcomers to your church. Their eyes are wide open, and they're watching everything around them. They're watching their surroundings, because it's a big step when you join a church. You want to join a congregation that's, you know, what you're looking for. And what you said is so poignant. They're going to take view of all the things going along in that congregation. They're going to take notice of the gossip, you know, the cliques, the people that are trying to wear the best clothes, the people that are trying to get close to the pastor and, you know, be in that in crowd. And it's so easy to lose newcomers to that. You know, people criticize people that church jump and go from this church to that church, but it's not really always about that. People are looking for a church home that fits what they're looking for. And it's so easy to get turned off, you know, by things you see in a church that are not holy and that are not what you're looking for. As for the snippet that you just played, first of all, I want to get that. I want to get that, and I want to get it in its entirety, if you can get that to me.
Okay.
What I took from it, the wicker chair reference she made, that was off the chain. You know, how you
use
the word. That was deep. Second, she hit it right on the head. You can't serve two gods. You cannot serve two gods. You cannot have one foot in the church and one foot out. That is so true. You got to make up your mind. This is the lifestyle I want. I'm here to serve God, and I'm in. I'm in, you know, 100%. Now, the only disagreement I got with that piece, and I got to, you know, kind of stand for my hip hoppers. I get what she's saying. You know, you just got out of church, but you got your station on the hip hop station. I'm a little 50-50 on that because it all depends on what type of hip-hop you're listening to. You know, we got so many realms of hip-hop today. We got spiritual hip-hop, we got clean hip-hop, we got gangster hip-hop, we got the hip-hop with all the cursing and all that good stuff. I get where she's coming from, but I'm not going to determine a person as a Christian by what type of genre of music they listen to, because just as they're listening to hip-hop in the parking lot of the church, as soon as they get out that church parking lot and take a left, their next station may be a gospel station. The third station may be a jazz station. The fourth station may be a clean R&B station. So I'm sort of 50-50 on that. Now I agree. If you're in the church parking lot and you're bumping some gangster hip-hop where they're cursing and talking about selling drugs and, hey, I hit five skeezers a week, I'm dead on point with her on that. But my point is, you know, we can't judge people by the genre of music they listen to and, hey, are they a Christian or are they halfway in or halfway out? So that's the only gray area I have with that. But everything else, I'm right on point with. And that was a powerful, powerful snippet. Please, I want to get a copy of that.
And you know what? I was getting ready to, you know, touch on that because I feel the same way. Like this song I'm getting ready to play next, this song I would love for you guys to listen to. It's by Life Jennings, and it's called Statistics. And this song speaks on, you know, loving yourself and, you know, not being naive, you know what I'm saying, to the games that people may play. And the quote that I want to give up tonight, he talks about don't sell yourself short, you know, in life, because what happens is, you know, especially when you're inexperienced or you may not truly know about dating, you know, there's a lot of game out there. But Life Jennings says, be the person you want to find. Don't be a nickel out here looking for a dime. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this song is so deep. When I heard it, I was like, oh, I got to play this tonight because Life Jennings brought it. And after this song, I promise you I will pick up the callers because I knew this was going to be a hot and heated show, but I knew God wanted me to do this show. And, hey, sometimes some of the assignments guys give you are uncomfortable, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. But, I mean, this song is so deep. And I want for each of you to listen to the words because these are life-changing words that Life Jennings is speaking in his hit single. It's called Statistics. And he is speaking the truth. You know, this song is a true eye-opener, all right? And I mean, he's not a gospel singer. But he has a positive message on what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel that you're absolutely right. I can't pick and say, oh, because this person's not singing about the Lord, you know, this is a bad person. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely not. Because I feel that, before I play this song, let me grab this caller because I'm losing callers. You guys, I see we're running past the half hour time. Let me know 580. If you're just listening or if you have a question or a comment about tonight's topic, I don't want to keep you guys holding like this. I got so much to play. 580, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where you calling from?
Hi, how you doing? This is BC. Just called us to tell Song High. And it's an interesting topic, but I just want to see the whole gamut. Like my comment is, like, we sit up and try to understand Christianity and try to research Christianity. I just want us to also try to research and understand how our ancestors actually worship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, you know, it's kind of hard to see that, you know, our ancestors ran the Europeans out of Africa from the initial concept when they tried to introduce Christianity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we always were religious people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We were always religious people. But somewhere down the line, we have taken other people's culture, tradition, and everything else and mm-hmm. for our own. And until we can get back to where we were, we will take
right.
our rightful place in this society and in this world. That's all I have to say. But
That's right. Excellent point. I'm gonna place you on mute. I got to play this song, but certainly I'll pick you back up after our commercial break, probably about 10 minutes. If you got another comment, you know, please feel free to share that with us. I'm very thankful for you know, your thoughts tonight. I appreciate that. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your first name. What was it again?
You speaking to me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is BC. This is straight through BC.
BC.
I'm in
Central. Okay. All right. Cool. BC.
I'm doing good, sir. I'm doing good. Long time.
I know, buddy. I know.
All right.
Okay. We're going to put you on mute. We're going to play this song. Like I said, this song has a very, very powerful message behind it. And I agree with you, Sound. Not all songs that have a meaningful message have to necessarily be gospel. Now, this is the difference between gospel and, I would say, R&B. Gospel songs have an anointing on it. You know, it has a powerful spiritual uplifting, you know, that feels like ordained by God. You know what I'm saying? Whereas an R&B, it makes you feel good, you know, and it's a song that you can relate to. You know, it's a song that, you know, whether it's a love song or a happy song or, you know, a get-together song, a family song, it's something that, you know, you're like, yeah, I can relate to it because this is everyday life. But it's something about those, you know, gospel roots that just have that anointing on it that is just so, like, powerful. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think a lot of Christians may feel like, you know, if you listen to all that other stuff, it's not of God. But I still think God can use you as a vessel, like in this song right here from Life Genesis. So here it is, Life Genesis Statistics. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the words and certainly let it move your life. We'll be right back.
All right, y'all. Settle down. If you don't know where you are, this is Statistics 101. And I'm your teacher, Life James, in the flesh, baby. Bookshop, let's go.
25% of all men are unstable. 25% of all men can be faithful. 30% of them don't mean what they say. And 10% of them remain the 20th day. That leaves you a 10% chance of ever finding your mate. That means you better pay attention to these words that I say. I'm gonna teach you how to expose the 90%. And show you what to do to keep the other team. Rule number one, don't be a booty call.
Okay, so that was the song by Life Jennings, just an incredible song. I mean, golly, if you didn't get a message out of that, I don't know what to tell you. Sound off, finally made it in the chat room, thank goodness.
Really?
We have another call on the line. I'm going to grab the callers because we have so much information to cover tonight. I don't like anyone just sitting there and holding. All right, 314, that's St. Louis. In the house, 314, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling? And I know where you're from with that area code. 314?
Oh, hey.
What's going on? You're like, is that me?
I didn't even know.
What's
up? Chase. It's Jason.
What's up, Jason? Okay, you got any comments on tonight's topic?
No, I'm just really enjoying listening to it and just really enjoying it, for real. You know, I'm just listening. That's it.
That's what's up. All right. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to Brown Sugar Radio. All right. Okay. And so that is there. Let me go ahead and place him back on me. Okay. So, there it is, and let's see here. There was an interesting comment I wanted to read in the chat. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, now Straight Truth BC says, it is good to judge and form, oh, great, now the chat box can move, and form opinion. The Supreme Being has said that, all right? And then when you get into a little more of the conversation here in the chat, Mr. Magic says, if a person watches porn, and he puts Kirk Franklin in parentheses, come on, y'all tripping, does that make him a bad person? I wouldn't think, I would just say that makes him a human being with, what's the word I want to say, a weakness, maybe, sound?
Okay, now what was the question again? If a person watches porn?
If a person watches porn, does that make him a bad person? And then Mr. Magic says, I can't talk to him or be around him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kirk Franklin, you know, we'll make him a shining example because that was front page news when he came out and admitted all of that. It's a blemish. People are going to look at you differently, of course, because porn is such a dark topic, a dark theme. You know, it's so in the closet. And it just doesn't go with someone that's trying to do right by Christ and be into the Word and all that. Kirk Franklin, what was interesting about it is he came out with this information after he was known as Kirk Franklin, the new gospel kid on the block that brought this new swagger to hip-hop, I mean, to religion, you know, with his new style of music. And it was interesting, he came out and confessed this, you know, after he was in the media spotlight, and people almost, I think, in my opinion, gave him a pass. You know, gave him a pass. See, if Kirk Franklin had came out with this type of information before he was Kirk Franklin, you know, just if he'd came out with this information as just a regular Joe Blow trying to do right by the Lord and I want to be a Christian, he'd have been persecuted, you know, because of status, because of who he was. People gave him a pass. Not everybody, but a lot of people, you know, sort of condemned him too. And it's just such a gray area. Porn and religion and that type of stuff. I mean, again, it's like the snip that you played. You can't serve two gods. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. And if you're into porn and that type of stuff, that's how you're going to be labeled. There's no way around it. So that's my take. I mean, there are certain things when you commit your life to Christ and you get into the Word that you're going to have to let go. That's what it's all about. It's a new beginning. It's a new life, and it's trying to change your life for the better. There are certain things you're going to have to let go.
Right.
That along with drugs and you know, out chasing women and in the clubs, that all falls under that umbrella. So
right.
To answer the question, I mean, if you're trying to do right by God and be a Christian, and does that make you a bad person watching porn? I would say that's just who you are, but you are going to be looked at as a person, like the lady said on the snippet, that's got one foot in and one foot out, trying to serve two gods.
Right. That's true. Now, Straight Truth says in the chat box that you know, the Bible says you should judge a tree by, you know, rather it's producing good or bad fruit. However, we do not necessarily judge the tree as being good or bad. you know, we're just judging the fruit as bad. And I'm taking, let me know if I'm stating this incorrectly, straight truth, BC. But you're saying don't judge the person, judge the act. Is that correct? Also, too, you say translate that into human beings. We can judge the lifestyle that one is living and what the lifestyle is producing, yet not necessarily judge the person's heart or their soul.
Well, my take on that, Brian, is I understand what BC is saying, don't judge the person, judge the act. But the act is you know, exemplifies who the person is. You know, if I sit up and scream, you know, hey, I'm holier than thou, I'm a Christian, and I go out tonight and rob a bank, you can judge the act. But the act is going to override the fact that I'm trying to be a Christian. I get what BC is saying, but your actions dictate really who you are. Let's just be real about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Right. That's true. You're absolutely right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take our quick commercial break because we have 40 minutes remaining. I did an hour and a half show tonight because I knew this was going to be an action-packed show. And we're going to, just like I said, take a quick breather. Then the second half of the show, we are going to get into the marriage part. But before I do that, I wanted to give three tips, basically kind of summarizing what we went over as far as advice to singles. All right. Number one, I believe you have to love yourself because you can't love someone else if you don't love yourself first. Two, stay busy. You know that you have to keep yourself occupied and out of trouble. And, you know, it's almost like kids, how they say you got to keep your kids busy to stay out of trouble. Same thing with someone that's single. You know, keep yourself busy, whether that's going to school, whether that's, you know, putting in a little more at your job or a few hours overtime. Lord knows we can need it with this economy, okay? You know, committing yourself to children's church, you know, teaching Sunday school or, you know, teaching basketball, whatever. Just develop something, a hobby to keep your time busy. And then three, as Life Genesis, he said it best, be the person you want to find because a nickel, be the person you want to find. Don't be a nickel out here looking for a dime. So that's what's up. We're going to go ahead and, well, before I do that, Sound, did you have any thoughts on our little summary recap on the single?
You pretty much hit it on the head. You hit it right on the head, and I pretty much agree with everything you said. I definitely like that. I want to comment on that Life Genesis quote. I like that. I really like that.
He put it out there, didn't he?
Don't be a nigga looking for a dime. I mean,
for real. In other words, have yourself together before we go pointing the finger and being super picky about mates. We got to make sure we right and somebody won't us. Okay.
You know the reason why I like it so much because I'm always bringing the straight truth. I've been that person. That, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, get out of that. You know, it's so easy for us to point the finger, but it's so easy to point the finger when people can't see if your house in order. You know, you can sit up and say, okay, yeah, I'm all this, but you can't criticize, you know, and, you know, throw stones at a glass window when we can't look and see what's going on with you. So I think everybody needs to, you know, practice that a little bit more. Don't be so quick to criticize and condemn when you know your stuff ain't in order.
Okay, for real. All right, so we will be back. I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in. Do not click that mouse because we'll certainly be right back after these messages. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to your premier choice in Internet Radio.
Hey, this is CC Peniston, and Brown Sugar Radio is where I like to chill every Thursday night at 7 p.m. on the livest show on the Internet.
Yo, yo, what up, y'all? This your boy Jason Little on Brown Sugar Radio. Yeah. Brown Sugar, how you doing? Just let me know how you feel.
What's crackin'? It's the Smoke E. Diglera, and I'm chilling with my girl Brown Sugar on the livest show on the internet, Brown Sugar Radio.
You're listening to Brown Sugar Radio. Brown Sugar Radio. Brown Sugar Radio.
Right, that's Second Chance by my girl, Karen Clark Shear. And I have to say that, you know, good grief, that woman is so anointed and just so just blessed with a gift from God. And, you know, we all need a second chance at some point in our life, and that's why I felt like this song was instrumental to this topic tonight. And so, I just want to say the chat box is popping tonight. Do you see the chat box down? We got all kind of folk up in there. Okay, I want to shout out all my loyal listeners. Bless Angel Eyes, Bobby, Sissy. If I tell your name up, forgive your girl, Brown Sugar, okay? I'm bad at telling up some names. I think it's Bobby. Is it Cease? Brother Brock. Ooh, golly. Ashimbo, 2004. We got guest 5962, guest 70, 74, guest, is it 70, 72? Mr. Magic, Sound Off, my guest co-host, Straight Truth, BC, and Young Boy Genius in the building. So that's what's up. All of you guys are having, I see, a very, very heated topic. Some are saying church isn't the... Go ahead, Sam.
I was just about to jump on that. You're on the same page.
Go ahead.
2004, I hope I don't get your name on it. Shumble 2004, got some interesting chat going on. Church isn't always the answer. You don't need church to go to heaven. Actually, it's more sin in the church than on the street, and that's something we touched on a little bit earlier in the show. Ishamo, give us a call, man, and I'll expand on that a little bit. I have to agree. I mean, there are people out there, Brown, I feel, that are good people, into the Word, religious, and love the Lord, you know, praise the Lord, worship the Lord through their Bible in the comfort of their home. They may go to church sometimes sparingly, you know, maybe not at all. But I sort of agree with the comment, you know. Church is not going to get you into the heavenly kingdom, you know.
Right.
My picture of getting into the heavenly kingdom, I think when you're standing in that line and you get to the front, and I think basically the Lord is going to look at your heart. He's going to look at your heart, look at what's truly in your heart over a lifespan of time. You know, what is in your heart? No matter what bad deeds you've done, no matter, you know, what did you do, what was truly in your heart? Did you really try to make a difference in others' life? Did you really try to help others? Did you really love the Lord? And that will be seen, you know, on Judgment Day. I think there are sins that will be forgiven on that day. I think the bottom line is going to come down to what's in your heart. And only the Lord knows that. Only the Lord knows that. You got good people out there, Brown, that just make dumb decisions. It doesn't make them sinners. It doesn't make them bad people. They just make dumb decisions. But they could be the most holiest person, most heartfelt Christian in the world. Just because they're not in the church, you can't condemn them and condone them from that. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, you know, with that. It's your actions. I've always been the type of woman where I say, I hear what you say, but I watch what you do. And actions have always spoken louder to me than words. So you can scream all day long, you know what I mean? I love the Lord, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but, you know, if you doing everything and then some that's not pleasing to God, that'll make me wonder.
Mm-hmm.
By all means. So we're going to get into the second half of our segment. Now this is for my married folk. I see we do have some married people. There was one chat. Let's see, one of my listeners said they were married 15 years. Congratulations on that. I only made it to 13. But it is what it is. And I don't know how many other listeners we have tonight that are married. Coach Rael, there you are. I was wondering what happened. I was just getting ready to ask Angel Eyes what happened. You said
my
he was man, coming through tonight.
Coach Rael.
Yes.
That is the
okay,
dude.
You got to catch the archive segment because you got to get all that good stuff. Actually, you just came in time because Coach Rael is married, and the second half we're talking about marriage, so this is perfect for you. Then we have Myra. Is it Rutledge? I want to say welcome, and guest 7116. We have so many that are coming in and out the chat. If I missed you, I want to apologize. Mr. Magic said, I made it 6 years and quit. Okay, let's see. Bobby C is a sissy, is married 14 years, together 17, happily married. I love him, and he loves me back. Oh, I love him. Okay, I thought you said I lust. Ain't nothing wrong with lusting after your husband. Yay. All right, so we're going to get into this second half as far as marriage. And now, all right, so after you've met, okay, your husband or wife, and you're trying to live, right, you know, in the church, but you're unfulfilled sexually, okay, due to your partner not wanting to explore more areas of their sexuality. Some believe that oral sex and anal sex is a sin. So they put restrictions and limitations on their sex life, which may cause frustration or doubt in their marriage. And then this may lead to creeping or stepping out on the side in the marriage, okay? So being, you know, many may call a holy roly or super safe, that may become boring to your husband or wife and is not acceptable. All right, so we're going to get into this a little bit. You know, I love it. Ishmo 2004 says sex plays an important part in your world, okay? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All sex is a sin, BS, is what Mr. Magic said.
Mr. Magic is the man tonight. That's how I do it tonight in the chat room. Magic is all the time. That's my dude. That's my dude.
Oh,
Magic.
Y'all killing
coming, Magic.
Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Okay, it was against the law. Bobby C. says, I'm tearing your name up. Is it Bobby C. C.? It was against the law in Virginia and other states, anal sex, that is, considered,
bestiality. Yeah.
Let's angel eyes. Sex is a beautiful thing. Amen, sister. Oh, wow. Ishmo 2004, quite frankly, I break a commandment a day. Y'all crazy. Go ahead.
Ishmo 2004 says, sex plays an important part in my world.
In capital letters. Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Well, we're going to get into that tonight, and I do believe that, you know, it's not only singles that creep. And so the second half, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about the married people because, you know, being a, you know, in the church, you know, you're taught that sex is forbidden and is safe for marriage, you know, and that marriage is honorable, the bedroom is undefiled, and so that you have to, women are supposed to submit to their husbands. And that's the thing now, when they say a woman submit to their husband, okay, when your man, I'm going to say your husband, because in the church they don't have girlfriends and boyfriends, they don't do that, it's husband and wife. So we're going to say when your husband wants to have sex and you decline, is that not being submissive, all right? Or do you feel defiled? Do you feel disgusting? Is that something you need to go to the path of? You know what I'm saying? How do you work through that? So those are some of the questions we're going to ask tonight. But who's going to answer it for us? None other than my girl, Dr. Juanita Bynum. I have another snippet I'm going to go ahead and share with y'all tonight. Juanita Bynum says that women are given sex and not romance. So y'all check it out here, and then we're going to chop it up some more about Juanita Bynum because there's a lot more to her story we want to get into tonight, y'all. Keep it locked.
Because, see, most women in the church were given our husbands sex, but we're not giving them romance. I'm not hearing nobody say that. We're not giving them enough memory because men, they ejaculate faster than a woman. You don't hear me. It's emotional for a woman. It is physical for a man. So if you don't want him to emotionally forget you, then before you allow him to release himself physically, you've got to give him a memory of you. He got to be on his job going, oh, Gwen, Jesus. Lord, Juanita's on the brain. Juanita. So when you call his cell phone, you got, well, why you ain't answer? I'll never get that from my husband. You get that from your husband because he's sick of you. He don't want to answer your phone call. And you got to know what the man in the church need. Men need sex, ladies. Okay, y'all looking at me like I'm just, am I going to just have to be the Dr. Ruth of Christendom or what?
Okay. Now, I wish I had more. I could not find more of that snippet, but Juanita was just breaking it all the way down sound. Go ahead and get into your thoughts on Dr. Juanita Bynum.
You know what, that was an interesting, and I'm putting a little jokey joke up in the chat room. I know everybody going to crack up when I put this in there. It's just a joke on Juanita Bynum. That whole thing.
You got to share with the archive listeners. What you put in the chat room, Sal?
Okay, this is what I put. That's why Juanita's husband jumped on her in that parking lot. She wasn't breaking down. That man was full and stressed out. He needed to release, actually. And he resorted to throwing hoes. Undoubtedly. I'm teasing with one of you. You know, that whole situation, and I saw it on the news. I followed that story. It's so many ways that story could go. You know, you could say it was a power struggle with the church. You know, she had more control of the women. She was taking over the church. You know, was it something internal with their marriage, sexually? I don't know. If I had to guess, I just think Juanita was gaining more strength in that church than her husband. When you really break it down, because from what I understand, what I've read, the women really followed her in that church. And let's be real about something, Brown, and everybody in the chat room. In the church today, one of the biggest divides is women versus men and who the women are going to follow and who the men are going to follow. If you have a strong pastor in a church and he has a first lady or a wife that's in that congregation as well preaching, the women are going to gravitate more to that woman, I think, than that pastor. I mean, it's just like life. Women, sort of, my girlfriend, I'm going to listen to what my girl got to say, you know, strength, women, you know, we're all strong. And I think, you know, I could be off base, but I think that's more of what it had to do with. As far as the pastor himself, I mean, we really don't know. It could have been a money issue. It could have been some things he was into in that church that she was willing to expose. But it had to be something pretty deep for this guy to jump on her in the parking lot and risk his career, you know, as a pastor.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So that's what it had to be pretty strong. Think about it, Brown, to snap in a parking lot in public.
For real? Okay.
You know, it's going to hit the media and it's going to destroy you as a pastor. It had to be something pretty deep. And if I had to put my fingers on it, I think she was taking control of that congregation. And the little joke I put in the chat room about sex, I was just joking with that. I really don't think that's what it was. But I want to get back to what you talked about earlier before you played the snippet about finding somebody in the church, you know, engagements, marriage, the whole nine, and then down the road you find out, you know, hey, she's not as freaky as I like. Hey, she doesn't do everything. She doesn't do oral. She doesn't do anal. She doesn't like me to do oral on her. You know, what I say to that is this. When you initially meet someone, and I don't care if it's a church front or if it's out in public, you meet her in a bar or wherever, 9 times out of 10, your first night sleeping with her is not going to be your honeymoon, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you're dating them, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, excuse my French, but you've hit it, you know, a couple of times. leading up to engagements, and man, you've hit it quite a bit. The point I'm trying to make is you've gauged your woman at that point. You've gauged mm-hmm. your woman sexually over a period of a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years before you married her. So don't expect her to change over and be a freak or let you do it this way, let you do it that way because you put a ring on her finger. A true woman, whoever she is when you meet her initially, that's who she's going to be as your wife. I mean, if you want a freak, if you want a girl that's going to let you do her any kind of way sexually, man, go get you a stripper. You know what I mean? Go get you one of these women in the street. Hey, go get you a stripper or one of these women in the street and try bringing her to church and getting her saved, and you got the best of both worlds because she'll still be that freak in bed, but, you know, you sort of, you know, she's into the word with you. That's the only way you're going to get that. You can't make a good girl go bad. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You just, I don't care how good your pimp game is, how good you think it is. You're not going to make a Christian woman that's into the word, you know, be your little sex freak and all that good stuff. So that's the way I look at it.
Excellent point. I want to read this chat, and I'm going to grab this caller on the line. Then I do have another snippet to play. Let's see here. Myra, y'all can hold on. Y'all typing so fast. I'm trying to grab it real quick. Oh, where'd it go? Yikes, did I miss it? It was by Myra Rutledge. I wanted to read. It says, the marriage bed may be undefiled. Can y'all stop typing for a hot second, please? But God is not, I'm trying to grab it. This chat keep moving.
I can't get it.
Do you see the chat that I'm trying to read, Sal?
Okay, the marriage bed may,
y'all hold your chat for like just 2 seconds for me, please. I'm trying to read this comment for our archive listeners. So they can get a feel of what was going on tonight. It says, the marriage bed may be undefiled, but God is not in the deviated sexual desires of sinful people, not anal or oral. Remember sodomy. This is not of God. It's just what some people want to do. Oh, I lost it. In the name of the Lord. They would be judged by God.
That's a good point.
Awesome.
A good point.
Okay, and then Angel Eyes comes. Oh, okay, she got it. She copied and pasted what I was saying. Okay, thank you, because I was trying to read it. Okay.
You know what, Brown? What she just said is real poignant, because there is some truth to that. And basically what I took from that comment is, you know, all of this sexual desire and all these things you want to do with your wife, those are desires that you want personally, okay? That's what you want personally. You know, it's not ordained by God, and it's not ordained by, you know, what you're trying to do as a Christian. That's just like a bonus. That's what we want in the closet. You know what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. We want that in the closet.
Yeah.
So I agree with that comment. I agree with it.
Absolutely. All right, let me grab these callers real quick, because they've been holding patiently, and I want to grab you. 205, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Myra Rutledge. I'm calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, you're the one who wrote that comment I was trying to read. Okay.
Yes, I did.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Wonderful. I appreciate you coming through tonight on Brown Sugar Radio 702. I see you there. Please don't hang up. I'm going to grab you next. Comments on tonight's controversial topic.
Okay. I'll just say this. It's time for the real God-fearing Christians to stand up. The world is the church. I mean, the world has gotten into the church, and they've gotten crazy. People like Juanita Bynum, and I'm just going to say it, Juanita Bynum and other people like herself, I'm not judging her or anything. I'm just saying the messages that they're putting out there, they're not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And
from
what I'm reading in scriptures, that is not of God. People do things because people, just like the word has said, we have come into a time where people's itching ears want to hear certain things. And then we elevate these people up to give us just what we want to hear. But it's not going to save you. God is in the saving business. We're in a war here with Satan. And sex is something beautiful. It's ordained of God and for a married woman and man. And God has not changed. He's the same, and he'll always be the same. But people have changed, and they have disgraced something God has ordained as holy and beautiful.
Mm.
But people don't want to be holy anymore. What happened to the Holy Spirit? What happened to because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can say you're a bishop, you can say you're a pastor, whatever. What is a title? A title is not going to save you. Money is not going to save you. These prosperity ministries, they're not going to save you. What about your soul? We can't take nothing with us. And people need to hear the unadulterated word of God these days. And true Christians need to step out. It's just a shame to hear all this mess going on. And you don't sit back and say, don't judge. What is that when God has told us to make a righteous judgment between what's right and wrong? How you going to know what's right and wrong unless you don't get out there and you judge it? You're afraid of what somebody might think or what somebody might say of you. Okay, God has already warned us about being caring about what people think. He has already warned us about being ashamed of him, and there's no other place for you to go but to hell. And the world can turn around and say there is no hell, that it's passé, or that it's just a figment of your imagination. Believe that if you want to. But God has already set everything in motion. If we're either jump on board or we're going to be left behind, and that's just the bottom line. They can say whatever you want to, but
that's
the Bible. Deviations, these sexual these things, people wouldn't even you wouldn't even hear these things before. They're wrong. They're sadistic, and God is not pleased. It's not about us. It's about Jesus, and Jesus is not.
Ooh, if you can't, like I tell my listeners, if you can't say amen, y'all better say ouch. You giving it to us straight up. I appreciate that. Girl, that's right. And you know what? I want to tell you this real quick, Myra. My mother told me when I was a child, this has always lived with me, about your hell comment. It is better to have lived your life as if there is a God, okay?
Oh.
Hypothetically speaking, for the people who don't believe, than to live your life as if there's not one, and then you find out you'd have missed out on your prize. Okay? So thank you so much for joining us tonight. And, girl, that was truth right there. You were speaking.
Okay. Praise God.
All right. All right. Woo, the switchboard is blowing up. All right, 702. I know where you're calling from, baby. That's my neck of the woods. Who's calling?
Hi, my name is Leonard Tatum. I'm the guy RT Talk that was on the...
You from Vegas, Leonard? What? You from the 702? That's where I'm at. How you doing tonight?
All right, all right. I also got a show on Blog Talk, too. But anyway, I wanted to comment on, you know, I was listening to the lady that just got off.
Myra, yeah.
That's what's missing in the churches is that old school wisdom.
Mm, you know, that's it.
It seems that church now is so progressive and so follow the trends of the world. But
yeah,
I want people to realize, too, that the church has always followed the trends of the secular world. It's just that in the old days,
right,
people were more conservative, even if they didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And a sexual revolution happened when people started smoking weed and hanging out, free love, hippies, and all of that stuff. The church also followed it because this is one thing people have to realize, that saved folks were sinners before they got saved. And however they lived their life when they was unsaved, they carried on when they got saved. That's why you have so much hip-hop in the church, because kids nowadays are growing up on hip-hop. It's over 20-some-odd years old now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got kids that never listened to gospel music, so they came with their culture to church.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
right,
the church is the only church that have a problem with the cultural change, but you go anywhere in the world, if you go over to Africa, they praise God at African music. You can't tell the secular African music from the Christian secular music. I mean, Christian African music. But that's their culture. So now the world is talking about everything. Everything instant information, downloaded on your phone, smartphone, all that. So we've thrown away keeping things quiet, being reserved, being conservative, and start talking about things. Now, I know in my Bible it says that the bedroom is not defiled. What goes on between a husband and wife is between that husband and that wife. It just so happens that a large majority of Christians are having premarital sex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're dating longer than, you know, when I was growing up in the church, people was getting married right off the, you know, they dated for like 3-4 months and they got married. So to go so a long courtship without being married. And I think that what hurts the Christian, why we see so much divorce in the church, is because we have unrealistic expectations of each other because we're both saved.
Yeah,
I'm saved because you saved. God's supposed to make everything work out. So we don't talk about sex. We don't talk about love. We don't talk about all of these things in the church because we feel it's so taboo. And we don't talk about these things, and we're joining people together that's unequipped with information and knowledge to deal with one another. And I praise people like Juanita Bynum for talking about it in an open forum because – and that's why I started my Roundtable Talk show is because Christians don't talk about stuff in front of each other, in front of people who aren't believers. We talk about it in huddles. You know, we go behind closed doors, call our friends, we get with our boys, and then we talk about this and this and that. But we don't want nobody to look at us as unsaved. So we have to get out of that self-righteousness and thinking that holy means that you never say what's really on your mind. That's not what holy was. And if we look at Jesus Christ's ministry, he would have never been considered holy by anybody that didn't believe he was the Son of God, because he hung out with sinners, publicans. He had Mary Magdalene hanging out with him. I mean, if you knew a bishop or something and you seen him riding around with an entourage and you knew one of the women was a prostitute, we are quick to judge based on the company that people keep or how they talk.
Right.
So I'm sure that Jesus didn't have a special type of language, you know, a holier language than everybody else. He was on their he was on their level. He dealt with them on their level. And I think because we have institutionalized salvation and it's become an organization and a way of life and a lifestyle, we have created a Christian holy persona that nobody can live up to. We can't live up to it because we always fall short. And I think that's why we live in such fear of Satan and he keeps winning, is because we're not teaching liberty. We're not teaching that through Jesus Christ and his grace that you can walk freely in it. We're teaching people to walk scared, you know, walk away from things, avoid this, mm-hmm. avoid that, get away from talking about certain things like sex.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we find ourselves falling into traps because we're unequipped and our Christians
mm-hmm.
are behind the times. And it's
mm-hmm.
like we're trying to go back and keep and catch them up to what's going on right now,
mm-hmm.
especially
mm-hmm.
demographically. If you live in the South, if you live in the Midwest, you may be
mm-hmm.
a little behind more West Coast urban cities and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we should, as Christians, engage each other more about what's really going on, and we have our own communication
mm-hmm.
amongst
mm-hmm.
Christians, and we don't have to worry about what the secular world is doing.
I want to jump in real quick on what that brother said. I want to jump in
yeah.
real quick. What he said is so true. You know, we try to keep so much conversation down, keep everything, you know, swept up under the rug and behind closed doors. And he is so right. We need to have an open dialogue with what's going on in our churches, because that is one of the main reasons, as we were just speaking in the chat room, why the Catholic churches are so screwed up today. And I know people are going to say, whoa, that's controversial and all of this stuff. But how many times you turn on the TV, on the news, and you see a pope or an archbishop that's molested a kid or two or three, but they try to sweep it under the rug. Oh, that's taboo. We don't talk about that. And this stuff has been going on for years. All of these
right,
news
right.
reports on all of these different popes and
right.
Archbishops can't be wrong, okay? It's not
mm,
just a coincidence.
Okay.
And it goes back to what the brother said. You have to open up dialogue, and let's get it out in the open, get this stuff out of the closet, stop sweeping it up under the rug. And that's the biggest problem we have in the black churches today. Everybody wants to put the pastor on a high pedestal, and he's almost revered as God or Jesus Christ itself. Everybody bow down and do what the pastor says and don't have a mind of your own. I don't agree with that. I think a church forum should be open, where there's an open line of communication for everyone. And that, I agree totally with what he just said.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to you guys, this has been, like, so much information, and I got to grab this call. They've been holding patiently. I want to grab them real quick. 702, I appreciate you calling again. What was your first name again? You just told it to me, but I want to make sure I say it right.
It's Leonard Tatum. I go to Kingdom Ministries.
Leonard Tatum. Okay, I got you, and you in the chat room.
All right.
Okay, if you want to come back on, just hit me in the chat, all right, because I want to grab this 954 that's been holding. Okay, thanks, hon. All right. 954, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from? 954? We can't hear you. Okay, are you guys, maybe you're just listening. All right. Well, the phone lines are certainly open for those of you who have any questions or comments in regards to tonight's controversial topic. I see so many wonderful comments. I mean, I appreciate each and every single one of you coming through tonight. One comment that I wanted to read was from Angel Eyes, and she was stating how without oral sex, that there'll be more divorces. And so I thought that was an interesting question, because that actually leads right into our next snippet with Dr. Ty Adams tonight, and she speaks about, actually, this young man, he's a single gentleman, and he's inquiring on, you know, how to find a wife that is compatible with his extremely high sex drive. So I thought this was very interesting for my men, all right, because y'all know I try to balance it out, all right, I'm here for the ladies, but also for the men, and he asked Dr. Ty Adams, you know, as far as dating, and he's saved, and you know, he wants to meet a woman on his level, you know, mentally, spiritually, but also sexually. He wants to be satisfied. And so 954, I see you calling back in. I'm going to play this snippet, and if you want it, you can private chat me, okay? Private chat me. Let me know if you're just listening or if you'd like me to pick you up. But here it is. This is, like I said, a man that has a question for Dr. Ty Adams on sex. All right, outside the bedroom. All right, we'll be right back.
Welcome to Ty Adams TV. I am going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects today, sex. And I got an interesting question today from one of you guys out there. I love the questions from the guys, so make sure you guys that are listening right now, make sure you go ahead and send me some of your questions. I like some of your stuff. You've got some edgy questions. Also, you want to make sure that you subscribe because you want to be the first one to know when we upload new videos. I'm going to go ahead with the first question from Mr. Spontaneous. I came to Christ 4 years ago and would love to be married. I have a great job in corporate America. A couple of nice cars, a couple of properties, very well known. I'm in my 30s. My heart is disturbed that I have not met someone who is compatible in these areas and this next area, which is one of my greater concerns. I don't want to sleep around. I am abstinent. Every time I date a church lady, a serious relationship, and we get to the subject of sex, having sex outside, in the park, in the rain, a little bit more specifics, at the show, receiving, I can't say the next word, oral sex while driving. When I mention oral sex or spontaneous sex to them, they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm frustrated because when I wasn't saved, church ladies as well as non-believers were good for it. Now that I'm living right, ladies act as if like they don't like it or they're embarrassed. What's a spontaneous man to do? Spontaneous man is a very great, great, great question. You know, I'm going to say this to you. Sex is a wonderful thing. It's taboo, of course, for people who are in church. One of the things that's interesting about sex for most Christians is it's forbidden. And it's kind of like the forbidden fruit. And what is interesting about your letter here is that you indicated that you wanted something, someone who was compatible with you in areas of alone, I guess maybe the status that you're on. And that's acceptable terms. I don't necessarily want someone that's not on the level that I am, so I do understand your stance in that. One of the things that I am concerned about is that you indicate the spontaneous sex. I don't have a problem with the spontaneous sex at all whatsoever. The problem that I have with is that you've been saved for 4 years now, and you indicate that you've been abstinent. I want to be able to kind of like dig in that word abstinence, if you will, because I like to be able to dig a little in words that necessarily that, you know, we really, what you're not saying in the letter, but what I'm picking up. Let me tell you something a little bit about abstinence. Abstinence, you know, it's really just foregoing sex. Sexual purity and sexual integrity, that's a total different thing. Sexual abstinence is if you're just foregoing sex, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's holiness attached to that. So just because you forego sex doesn't mean that you're not having sex. The problem is with many people who say that they are abstinent or celibate is sometimes there's holiness that's absent from that. Let me tell you something about abstinence. You can forego sex and still be in sexual impurity. You want to ensure that while you're in this stage where you're waiting for God to send you your wife, you want to ensure that you're not only abstinent but in sexual purity. Two different things, huge different things. Abstinence is not alone holiness. And what I'm afraid is that you may have picked up a lot of sexual appetites along the way before your stages of abstinence, and you may be bringing them into your sexual union. You don't want to have had all of these sexual acts prior to marriage and then expect that they'll work inside the marriage bed, because what you'll be bringing is sexual impurity in your wedding bed. You don't want to have every woman that you've slept with outside in the rain, every woman that has performed oral sex on you in the car, and then bring that to your wedding bed, because now what you're going to be doing is bringing impurity to your wife. You want to make sure that you are purified of any of those sexual impurities and some of those sexual appetites that you picked up outside of God, that you're not bringing them now into your sexual union. So sexual abstinence is totally different from holiness. You want to ensure that you have been purified and walking in holiness so that the marital bed can be holy as well. My concern is that you may be bringing up this conversation a little bit too early. One thing about sex for women is that it's intimate for us. And many women are open to pleasing their husbands as long as it's private. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, it says that when the man and the woman, when the husband and wife were naked, they were not ashamed. There are a lot of sexual privileges that are open to those who are in covenant of marriage that we can explore and express ourselves sexually between one another. But the problem is that it's supposed to be private. And so you may be opening up conversations way too early. And then not only that, you may be putting yourself in a position where the relationship no longer is monogamous, where you're having sex in the movies. I mean, come on, think about it. It's no longer sex between you and your wife if you're having sex in the movies. And so you want to be able to make sure that the confinement of sex is celebrated in the will of God. You want to be able to ensure that you're being satisfied sexually but not grieving the Holy Spirit at the same time. And so you want to be able to open up these conversations only with people at right levels, if you will. It's kind of difficult for a woman to open up that level of expression when you've only been dating each other for a couple weeks. I mean, bringing up this conversation about sex in the rain and having sex in the car is kind of a little bit pushing it over the edge. But if you are in commonality with someone who enjoys lovemaking and the art of it and enjoying the gift and the expression that God ordained it to be in, then your wife will be open to another level of expression that you have not even thought or prayed of. And so you want to make sure that you are doing something in the will of God and not something that you brought outside of when you were not in the will of God, when you were in sexual sin. If you want to be able to celebrate sex and be able to have spontaneous sex, you want to make sure that you're not grieving the Holy Spirit and that He's included in that spontaneity. I'm praying for you, brother. Make sure you wait on God to be able to sit in that wife. And I'm telling you, you're going to have some explosive sex. I'm waiting for that.
All right.
I'll see you guys on the other side of the next question. Thank you for joining us for Ask Dr. Ty.
All right, so that is, and she broke it down for us. And so I hope that helps some of my brothers tonight that are contemplating getting married and want to know, you know, how to find that perfect, you know, soulmate, sexual mate, whatever you may want to call her at that time. And so what I'm going to do now is... hold on 1 second. I'm trying to get my switchboard up and running. I guess my shows only normally last an hour, and tonight we're doing double duty. So I know my little switchboard is going kaput on me. I'm trying to get my switchboard back up and running. Sound, hang tight, because my switchboard went out on me. Okay, but some of these comments in the chat room, my goodness, this is just amazing to see some of the comments. My goodness. That are going forth tonight. I have to say that this is too funny. So Young Boy Genius says, so what makes the Bible greater to other religious books that are written for other religions? Interesting, huh? I guess, you know, that's something that you would have to research, you know, and just truly find out, you know, look at the other different religions, you know, pray about it. And the reason I say pray is because of the simple fact that everyone has a spirit, I believe, you know, and just follow your spirit, you know. And, you know, I have always been led to believe that God is real. You're right, because I know you're having issues dealing with as far as, okay, what makes this religion right, because this is what your parents introduced you to. That's not what you think. I did read your comment in there. And the reason I say this religion, as far as my opinion, is right for me, is because I've had a personal experience with God, all right? There's been times I've been on my knees and at my wit's end, and God has showed up and showed out in my life. So I can tell you as a testimony, God is real, okay? Because He has touched my spirit and touched my soul, and He's done things that only He could do. There's been times where I didn't know where I was going to be able to get help, you know, rather it was paying bills at one time. When after my divorce, I had went through some things, and just God sending the right people in my path, money miraculously appearing in my bank account. Y'all better say something, look, okay?
I know God is real. So just as far as your own personal experience, you know, you're right. You can't go by what your parents say. You have to go by what you feel is best in your heart. But, you know, like I said, there's been times my back has been against the wall, and God has showed up, and now I'm grateful because I have a job, thank the Lord, that is earning a professional level, you know, and, you know, God has been good to me. I'm able to take care of my children. I'm able to provide, pay bills, and I just truly believe that that's a blessing, especially for not having a college education. All right, my switchboard finally decided to come back up here. All right. Now, there you are. Good grief, that was crazy. All righty,
Brown,
so
Brown,
yes,
Brown,
yeah.
You did an excellent job covering that time, Ma.
You know what's funny? You told me, you was like, Sugar, I always was worried when I co-host about that dead end.
Hey, one of my biggest fears on there is when that show goes dead, I have no caller, but that switchboard jumps off and you got to cover that dead time. And I know, look, I know you had me on mute, so I'm over here cracking up. I'm like, Brown is like out there trying to cover this time so that switchboard jumps off.
You feel me? That's right. Look, worked it on out, didn't I? I'm a pro at it now.
That was fun.
Oh, Lord. God is good. Yes, he is, Angel. And God is good, Bobby C.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to your sister. Okay, look, for real. Get the book
first. You know,
all right.
Can I make a quick comment?
Oh, wow. Yes. I wanted to read this comment before it goes real quick now. Straight Truth says, yes, but other people are doing the same things without believing in God, so there is no difference. Well, the answer to that is that God has grace. He has no respect for a person. And unfortunately, even though the people that don't believe in him, he's still going to bless them, is my answer to that. You know, God is a man where he can't lie. So just because that individual decides to reject God or not receive God doesn't mean that God's grace and his mercy is going to not overshadow that person, if that makes any sense. Okay. However, the ones that do believe and the ones that do pray and the ones that do get on their knees, I do believe that there's this saying, no prayer, no power, little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. The more you pray, the more you're going to see move and change in your life. So go ahead, Sal.
I wanted to go back to the comments made about the Bible in the biblical sense. Can we trust the Bible? How do we know this is the truth? Who wrote the Bible? All that good stuff. And I wanted to ask everyone in the chat room, where does that concern derive from in most people in the chat room? Is it the hoodwink factor as African-Americans, hey, can we follow the Bible? Do we know that this was legit, or was it something that was just written by somebody by their terms and their beliefs? I kind of get where they're going because that's one of the biggest debates you'll ever have in life. You know, it's what in the Bible is it prudent? I mean, what history do we have surrounding the Bible? We know that this is what it is. And I get that. But I'm sort of just trying to figure out in the chat room, what are your concerns as to the disbelief? What are the concerns as to the disbelief? What makes you stray away and say, hey, it's not true, or I don't believe in it, or I don't believe in the King James Version or this version or that version? So if anybody in the chat room, you know, could throw something up about that. Ishamo 2004, I'm sorry, I don't trust the Bible 100%. But I want some reasons, you know, if anybody just, you know, throw something up in the chat room, what would be your reasons to believe that it's not accurate? So I wanted to throw that out there. I mean,
and to Ishamo's answer, God does love gays. He was saying, why doesn't God love gays? He does love them. He loves everybody. He even loves the atheists. He loves all of his children. But there's some things, I don't know if you're a parent or not, okay, Ashimo, to kind of break it down for you. There's some things that me personally, I love my children, but they may do things that upset me. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop loving them. You know, they may act up in school. They may not clean the house the way I wanted to. They're going to do things that are upsetting to me or things that I don't prefer. They may break some rules. You know, if I tell them no, being on your cell phone after 10, and they're on the phone after 10. You're going to do things, but it doesn't mean you stop loving them, okay? I want to grab this caller real quick, Sean. They've been holding patiently. 678, please let me know if you're just listening. Please don't hang up. If you're just listening, that's fine. If not, please let us know if you have a question or a comment. All right, 678, you're on the air with Brown Sugar Radio. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
What's good, Brown Sugar? This is Mr. Magic from Atlanta.
What's up, Mr. Magic? Magic in there? Throwing up some
good
chaos.
That's good. Boy, that's good.
Woo!
Boy,
I appreciate it, though. That's strong debate.
Right. That's where he said he was calling from, right? Mr. Magic, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta, one of the gayest cities in the world.
Come on, Magic. Magic, that ain't where I was going. That is not where I was going with that. Oh, man, I'm from LA,
like,
too. What is where I was going
with that? Okay? He's from Atlanta, too, what?
Damn, Magic,
you know,
just set up, buddy.
Y'all crazy. Y'all is crazy.
Magic, you in there
clowning tonight.
You know, I mean, that's what I do. That's what I do.
Right.
All right, I wanted to touch on what you was talking about a little earlier, but your switchboard was messed up. You was talking about the guy who was trying to find like a sexual partner on their same level.
Oh yes, and she was giving advice.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead.
Yeah.
What you think?
The guy will never find it. Okay, and be happy. Okay. You can find the woman that will give you all the threesomes, all that nasty stuff, all you want to, but she'll be a pain in the ass. You see what I'm saying? Then you'll find a woman that won't give you all that threesomes and all other type of stuff like that, and you won't be happy. So you will never find a woman to give you that sexual whatever that you're looking for at that level. You'll never find it. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Yeah, excellent point. I appreciate that. You know, and you—it was funny because you had said something earlier about sex can make or break a marriage, or sex. Was something I forgot the exact words. Elaborate on that a little bit for us.
I don't know. I talk a whole bunch of shit, so you know, even on my radio show that I have. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Okay,
you know,
I'm about to text you out. What nights do you air?
Matter of fact, I'm on tomorrow night at 7:30. You can check me out, www.blogtalkradio.com/creativeminds. Or either right here on Magic Jackson. I'm at the chat room right now. You can just add me as a friend, and I'll let you know the show and everything like that.
Okay,
but,
that's what's up.
But just check
that's
me out, and it was nice checking you out, Brown Sugar, and sound off. I'll holler
thank
at you,
you,
all right?
Okay, thank
all
you.
All right, cool. Thanks, Mr. Madley. All right. Anybody else that would like to call in, certainly we only have a few minutes remaining. As you see, I extended the show because I knew this was going to be a juicy one. And so Sounds got his family reunion. I know you're going to get me because I just got you on overtime tonight.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
All right. And so, yeah, so certainly for those of you who have any questions or comments, we got about maybe 5 minutes remaining, and you can hit us up at
go ahead, bro.
I'm just going to give the call-in number and then go ahead. 646-716-8697. All right?
Okay.
Go ahead, Sound.
I got a question for you, Brown. I want to throw this to you and everybody in the chat room. It's an interesting question. If the Bible, and this goes back to everybody about the Bible not being legit and the questions on that. If we took some prophets today, let's say the top 10 prophets, in the world today, and we wrote a newer version of the Bible today, governing the standards, you know, society today and everything that's going on in society today, if we wrote a new Bible, 10 prophets in the world, best 10 prophets in the world, and they put a new Bible out, how different do you think it would be from the original Bible, King James, and all, you know, the original Bibles that we've been on? And that's for the
okay, I don't quite understand what you're asking me, Sam. You're saying if somebody put out a new Bible, like a new revised version?
If we took a revised version of the Bible, 10 of the top prophets in this country, you know, in the world, and we did a new Bible, put out a new Bible, how different do you think it would be from the original Bible? You know, what content would be out, what content would be in, would gays be accepted in the new Bible? You know, just how different do you think it would be?
You know what? I don't really think, honestly, that it would be much different because a lot of the things that they were doing back then, they're still doing now, you know. I mean, things are easier for us now. If you look at the Old Testament, you know, they had to use a lamb to cover their sins and to ask God for forgiveness, where now we have the blood of Jesus, you know, that we can use, and he died for us. But they were still doing the same thing, fornication, adultery, stealing, robbing, killing. it's still the same thing. You know, everything is still the same. So that's why I truly believe that the Bible is still relevant today. I mean, many people say, oh, that was written years ago, and that was olden days and this. But it's the same stuff, different day.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
ain't nothing new under the sun. Sex is still sex. You know, we still have, you know, everything from unruly children, disrespectful, you know, sisters and brothers.
The reason I ask that question is because when you question it, you know, what's real, what's not, you know, who, you know, put the Bible together, how could you? Because like I just said, if we were to do it today and put a new version out, what would be different? So what's not to believe? That's my question. What's not to believe?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
Put it out there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's see if let me check my switchboard, see if I have any more callers. I do. All righty. We have an anonymous caller on the line. Caller, where you from, and what's your name? Hello, anonymous caller. All righty then. Maybe they want to still remain anonymous, and that's all good. They're not saying nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, we got an anonymous caller there. Okay, well, hey, I just want to say all of you, certainly, you can check us out. Follow me on Twitter. I want to give you my information real quick. But before I do that, I want to summarize the merits. Hold up, I got to do my pros and cons. I almost got off track here. Okay, so after we have went over the second half of the segment, you know, the pros for a married couple, certainly, I believe, number one, a couple that prays together stays together. Number two, you want to make your spouse your best friend, you know. And then number three, enjoy having a spontaneous and adventurous sex life. You know, don't be so caught up in, you know, living this straight and narrow life when you're married and God has given you, you know, the freedom to enjoy your spouse. You know, if your husband or your wife wants to try some things that are a little different, be open to trying it. Don't be so, you know, closed-minded to the opportunity of arousing, you know, your husband, all right, or your wife. And then some of the cons, I would say, would be, number one, if you don't marry someone that is equally yoked to you, they could bring you down, you know. Number two, if you don't marry an individual that is on your level as far as spiritually, you know, and not wanting to take you, you know, to those areas as far as maybe someone that doesn't believe in God, you know, how would you deal with that? Well, like I said, I guess it all goes back to prayer again, you know, but one of the cons with that is that you will constantly have a struggle if you don't see eye to eye. You know, if one person is a believer and the other one is not, how do you deal with that? And then one of the other cons, I would say, with marriage would possibly be if you have a partner that is not willing to change as far as, you know, growing with you and wanting to enjoy life, you know. If you got a partner that likes to stay at home all the time and if you like to go out and do things, that could cause a problem. If you have one partner that enjoys sex and the other one doesn't really care for it that much, that can cause a problem. If you have one spouse that likes to shop and spend a whole lot of money and the other one doesn't, that can cause a problem. So just finding that balance in the relationship, certainly I could see would be some issues that I think would be some of the cons. And then certainly you don't have the time that a single person may have as far as devoting to God, as we mentioned earlier. You have to divide that between God, your husband, and then later on possibly even children. Not saying that's a bad thing, but you just have to know how to manage your time wisely, all right, so you don't end up losing yourself in the process. Okay, Sam, your thoughts on the second half as far as marriage, and then I'd love for you to shout out your links.
Okay.
Oh, man.
What you got?
Okay, I just got a private chat from the person that was, I don't know if you want me to tell who you are, so I won't repeat your name, but the person that called from the anonymous, they could not call in because Blog Talk was tripping. Okay, all right. Try to call back in if you can. I won't repeat your name. If you can call back in, if you want to call, I know you had your number anonymous and you just private chat me and let me know. Okay, go ahead, Sal.
I go back to the comments I made earlier. I mean, couples in the church, it's a joint venture to serve Christ, serve the Lord, and live right jointly. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, you have don't get it twisted. You have marriages where, you know, maybe one spouse goes to church and the other one doesn't, and it's still a working marriage. But couples in the church, it goes back to the first snippet you played. You can't serve two gods. You can't serve two gods, and you definitely can't serve two gods as a couple. You have to be on the same page in the church serving one God and trying to live right, especially as a married couple or an engaged couple or just a couple, period, because there are so many devices in the church, and I don't want to keep beating up on the church and the congregation and the building and all of this good stuff, but there are devices, and I think married couples can be one of the biggest targets. I think they can be one of the biggest targets. You got single women, single men in churches, and they'll try to flirt with this spouse, this one will try to flirt with that spouse. You got to be really strong as a couple in church today to go to church to get the knowledge and get what you're trying to get out of church and religion. Because there are so many devices, you know, working against you. I mean, I'm not talking all churches, but we know what it is, you know, from a realistic standpoint. I don't want to come off and say there's more bad you can get out of church than good, because that's wrong. I think it's always a good thing that you can get more positive productivity out of church. But as a couple, you just got to stay strong, and you got to be equally yoked, and you have to be on the same page. You have to be on the same page, because just like it can go all good, you know, going to church, it can very quickly go all bad. So that's my take on it. I mean, if you're with somebody and you're trying to get your life right and you're looking for that special person, you know, to get into Christ with, I mean, you got to work at it. But I do want to go back to what I said earlier. Just because you find that person in church, Brown, it doesn't mean that's still going to be the right person for you. There are many people in church that are putting on a front. So don't get caught up with, hey, I found her, she's in church. She likes church. She does what I do. That, you know, a lot of people are fronting in church. And like that snippet, you know, the lady said, one foot in, one foot out. So it just you have to, you know, just search and just pray to God that you find that person.
Yeah, that's it. You know? Well, you know, this has been a heated topic. My goodness, we've had so many listeners come in and out, and gosh, this has just been a blessing. I want to thank each and every one of you that have showed up tonight. Certainly all of the loyal listeners that continually support Brown Sugar Radio, you know my show would not be the same without you. Down, I want to say thank you for coming through tonight, because we are pulling double duty for real.
No problem at all.
As you know, okay? I'm like, you got your family reunion and everything, and I got you up late, you know what I'm saying?
No, you're good. Yeah, big shouts to the
Like midnight in Atlanta, reunion. Right?
Yeah, big shouts to the Lippitt family reunion this weekend. And real quick, Brown, I love the chat room. I hadn't been on Blog Talk Radio in a while, and I see the same old crazy gang is in the chat room. I enjoyed this tonight. I love a good chat room.
Okay, yes. So what I'd like to do at this time is tell our announcements real quick, and then I'll give out our links. Next Tuesday, we're going to have the landlord, who's a musician. He's out here in Las Vegas, and he is actually on Floyd Mayweather's record label. He's going to come out and do his thing next Tuesday. And then on Thursday, it'll be your girl Brown Sugar again and Sound Off holding it down. Once again, I got a double header. I was able to get them twice in 1 month, y'all, so I'm taking advantage. I got Sound again, but I knew he would be good for both of these topics. And the next topic is going to be athletes that were once balling, now broke, okay? Can you stand it?
Make sure you get to that PayPal account. Make sure you get to my PayPal account for next week.
Yeah, for real, I got to pay you all these double shifts I got you doing up. Okay? So, yes, y'all definitely want to mark your comments for that. That's going to be an interesting show. And we got so many more wonderful things coming up. But, you know, Sal, go ahead if you want to shout out your links. You can put them in the chat room as far as your Facebook or if you have Twitter or anything of that nature.
Okay. Blog Talk Radio, I'll be coming back pretty soon, just getting some stuff done with school. I'm actually in school online now, taking up a lot of my time. But that's www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now. Just check the page, and I will have shows coming up in the fall.
All right. That's where it is. And I'm actually going to post my links in the chat room, but it's twitter.com, Brown Sugar Radio, S-U-G-A, facebook.com, Brown Sugar Radio Show. And you know that's S-U-G-A once again. And let's see, MySpace is myspace.com, Brown Sugar in Vegas. All right, so get at your girl. I'll post the links in the chat room. Love each and every one of you. Thank you, young boy. I'm so glad all of you enjoyed the show. This is awesome. This is awesome. So we'll be back. We will be back next week. We'll do it all over again. I want to say thank you so much for tuning in to Brown. Oh, I can't close. I got to get my quote. My quote for tonight, I'm going to put it in the chat because I know I'm not running live anymore. The quote for tonight is, if I declare it, God will establish it. All right? So that's the quote. Y'all know I like to always end with a motivational quote for tonight, and that is what it is. So I got to definitely make sure that y'all know what's up. If you declare it, God will establish it is the motivational saying. I want to say we'll see you back next week, same time, same place, on the live show. On Internet Radio, Brown Sugar Radio. Be blessed.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's happening. The most impressive show.
On Internet Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio. You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities, interviews, and gossip. Breathtaking topics. The latest fashion.
Health and beauty tips.
Underground hip-hop. And
artists to make you groove, and the best fans to chat with.
Come and chill with the girl Brown Sugar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm gonna take my time so I can get a sensual seduction.